Let us pray. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these words be yours and bless. Amen. Advent is my favorite time of year for a number of reasons. Partly because, you know, it means that Christmas is coming soon. And I've always been one that actually weird that way, that I like the anticipation of something rather than the something itself. My favorite thing on a roller coaster is that last little click, 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 click right at the top. And Thursday is my favorite day because the weekend's coming next. I like Advent also partly because it's the time of the year when the church and the world seems to be most closely aligned. That love and harmony and the spirit of giving seems to pervade everybody. And I like that. And also partly because of all the symbolism of Advent. Advent is loaded with it. Someone suggested that I should preach on all that Advent stuff and that. And I said, well, I wouldn't make much of a sermon. And she said, oh, it'd be interesting. Just stick one of your cute stories at the end. So in an effort to be attuned to the Holy Spirit working through anyone, that's what I figure we're going to do today. Take a closer look at Advent and all the trappings. Let's start with the word itself. Advent is derived from the Latin ad and venio, which means to come, to arrive. Advent is a season emphasizing a coming. And what's coming? Well, it's actually not a what question, but a who question. And that who is Christ Jesus. So it's a time of celebration and preparation and waiting for his arrival to the world. And we recall Jesus being born in a manger in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. But equally, his arrival to us in our lives. And we sing like, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, be born in us today. I like the excitement that's captured by the prophets. Particularly, there's this passage in Isaiah 64 where he says, oh, that you would only open up the heavens and rip it apart and come down. Like, please come soon, O Lord. And then they actually stop to realize the implications of what they were asking. And I thought of two little kids, 8 and 10 years old, that are left at home while their parents went to a seminar in Seattle all day. And they had a great time. They're hanging out, they're playing games, watching TV, eating popcorn, playing Fort and all this. And then it started to get dark. And they were kind of getting nervous. And they said, we can't wait, we're scared. We want our parents to come home. And maybe they'll even bring us a present because we were so good all day. And then they get a phone call that their parents are in Longview. And they look and they listen and they see their house in such an array, popcorn all over the place, everything messed around, and they're not in bed. And so they know they got a lot of work to do. That's what Advent wants to instill upon us. You know, hence there's these prayers that emphasize stirring up. They're called stirrup prayers. All the petitions for the season start with that phrase, stir up, O Lord, your power, and come. We ask God to get us moving, to motivate us during these days, to help us actually prepare. Because sometimes we are like a pot on the stove whose contents needs to be stirred up lest they get burnt. We'll hear more about this from John the Baptist in the next 2 weeks. Because someone's coming, Jesus Christ. And we get ready for his advent in Advent. The colors of the season of Advent, the stoles, the paraments, the linens and all that, they're usually violet or blue. Originally, they're always violet because in the ancient days, purple was the most expensive dye you could purchase. And it was a color that was so, so expensive, so precious, only royalty could afford it. And so purple was to symbolize this king that's coming. But lately, however, most churches that are cool have gone to blue. and that's to emphasize the hope thing. To distinguish Advent from Lent, that period before Holy Week and Easter that's filled with penitence and preparation of that kind. but also to emphasize that hope that should burn deep within us. Because blue is the deepest, hottest, purest part of a flame burning bright. And what we hope for is the hope of the entire world. Because of this waiting, because of this hope, Advent, like no other season in the church year, is marked by a countdown. Its days are numbered, literally. Many of you will purchase Advent calendars, supposedly for the children, where you have little tiny doors that you open up until Christmas Eve that are numbered in sequence. But of course, we also have before us the Advent wreath that I talked about, which visually tracks the Sundays in the church. It's filled with symbolism. It's an arrangement of a circle of candles, a circle meaning no beginning, no end, like God's eternal love for us. It's garnished by evergreen branches symbolizing life, but also holly, which berries represent drops of blood that Christ will shed for our behalf. The candles are either blue, the hope thing, or purple for the repentance thing. And one candle's pink. The third candle, the anticipation of joy. And these four candles circle a white one, symbolizing purity, the Christ candle. But as we go through the sequence of weeks, each tiny blaze marks our advance to the advent of the light of the world, reminding us that we're waiting for a king, our Lord, but also a baby. Many of the songs of the season contain that word Emmanuel. It means God is with us. And that's what all the fuss is all about. That's the central theme of Advent, God being with us. Since we could not come to Him, He came to us. In Jesus Christ, He becomes a human being completely, totally. As John says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The awesome, holy, and holy other God takes on human form. God with us, not just in spirit, not just in His love, but with us, as in like us, born like we are, living like us in every single way except without sin. Living, breathing, eating, dying, drinking, dying for us. Dying for us, like us, and all about us. Emmanuel, God with us. The words should roll off our tongue and embed themselves in our heart. Indeed, it is something to sing about. And just in case you are curious about it, Emmanuel sometimes has an I and sometimes an E. The I is whenever it's used in the Hebrew form, symbolized in the Old Testament. The E is how the Greek translated it, so that's New Testament, just in case you're curious. But like I said, Advent is a time filled with symbolism. It's a seasonal, multi-sensory attempt for us to recapture Israel's anticipation for her Messiah, their passionate yearning for God to intervene on their behalf, as He promised, and to translate that feeling that they had into our own form of waiting in the 21st century. Because we await not a coming, but a return. We know what to look for, or we think we do. And that, I believe, is what trips us up sometimes this season. Its symbolism seems to run aground in the hard reality of our own calendars. Jesus said in this morning's gospel, no one knows the day or the hour. But for us, Advent is a set period of time. We know exactly how many days there are until Christmas. We're not caught by surprise. Our problem isn't a matter of waiting. Our problem is our procrastinating. We easily get caught up in all the demands and excitement of the holidays, and we mistake our busyness for preparation. As we prepare for the celebration of the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, we must also make ready for that coming of him into our lives. And like those prophets of old, we listen. And it becomes so strident this season because it's something we must wait for without really knowing how long our wait will be. Jesus said, you must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when you least expect it. So wait. Watch. You know it's coming. You know that he is coming. And also beware, because we can easily focus so much on our plans for Christmas that we're not really preparing for Christ at all. Unless we do Advent. Unless we savor that sense of anticipation, like the gurgle and smell of coffee brewing in the morning, like that moment just as the lights go down in a movie theater when the picture's about to start, like the first few flakes of falling snow, like turning into that last corner into the old familiar street after a long journey home. Advent is living in the now of the not yet. That's my phrase. I made that up so you can use it. I know it sounds better if I got it from somebody else, but that means it. I want you to live in that now of the not yet. I encourage you to enjoy the anticipation and let your hopes run wild. Especially as a counter to the way the rest of the world celebrates this time of year. All the Christmas fervor is often just an imposing list of things to be done. And so it soon becomes something that starts too early, goes on too long, and ends too quickly. Instead, our Advent should see things getting more and more intense with each passing day. Like I did last week with this balloon. I did it for the kids, but I watched all the adults cringing, waiting for it to pop. Yes, that's what it is. Are we prepared? Are we waiting for it? Jesus is coming. You know what's going to happen, even if you don't know when. Advent's the time to get all squirmy and tingly, nervous and giddy, because you're waiting for something sure. So now that cute story to end. Christmas in 1963, the best Christmas I ever had. And it was punctuated by the day we were let home early after school. And I came down our street and I saw my dad open the trunk of our car and sneak into this house, this big, beautiful sled, the one thing I wanted more in the entire world. And it was mine. I just had to wait. That's Advent. Christmas is coming, sure, and enjoy it in the 12 days that follow. But for the next couple of weeks, let Advent stir you up that way. Because indeed, our King is coming. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.